Washington.
These are the multiple 1960s lectures continuing onward.
Number two.
At number 30. Yes.
Hurry, I mean.
Yeah, 1961, the 23rd Amendment is ratified. What does the 23rd Amendment do?
Yes, Washington, D.C. voting in federal elections.
Yeah. In what context should this be interpreted?
Democratization.
A little more than democratization.
When,
if I was writing a civil rights essay, I'd stick it in there.
Yeah, because D.C. has been majority black since Reconstruction.
Yeah, so it's clearly going to be black democratic voting.
King voting. Well, like, probably
they're given three electoral votes. In 1964, not listed here, but another thing you could put into a cold civil rights essay is the 24th Amendment. What did the 1964 24th Amendment do?
Poll tax.
It outlawed poll tax.
Why is federal election.
Yeah. Why is that civil rights related?
Because poll tax has been constantly used as a Jim Crow law to prevent black people from voting.
Jim Crow laws is separating the races in public facilities, but it was at the same time as Jim Crow. It was a disenfranchisement tool for stopping voting.
Okay, well, it's still
a
racist thing in the
South. Yes, yes, it is.
All right, it falls in the
same. Like literacy tests, which we've been through. Here's Yuri Gagarin doing his thing.
Zero gravity.
Yep, he's the first man in space.
Zero oxygen.
So you did have no oxygen at some point?
I'm pretty. It was built by the Russians, I'm sure he didn't have any oxygen.
A year later, the U.S. finally got a man up in space in 1962 with Alan Shepard. And I have a Shepard story I have to tell. Two Shepard stories. Two Shepard stories. He just died here about 3 or 4 years ago, I think. But when he first went into space in 1962, I was in the third grade, and our teacher asked us to write an essay. What did we think about Shepard going into space? And I can remember waxing and waning about the historic significance of this time that we'll all look back, those of us that were alive, and remember the first American to go in space, that we were alive when it happened to celebrate it. And I think, really, I do believe that at that point in time, in the third grade, I revealed that I knew I was going to be a historian from that point on. So Shepard's flight gave that possibility. Years later, 1970, I go off to college for the first year, Fayetteville. And when I get to school, the first week of school, the school newspaper has this picture of this pretty sharp-looking blonde on the front.
I have.
And it says, Debbie Shepherd to attend U of A. And I read the article, and it was Alan Shepherd's daughter is starting as a freshman at university and is going to stay in the full future or wherever dorm it was. I was in Hotz, and the one next to Hotz that went to the same dining hall she was staying in.
Why is she going to the U of A? I'm just wondering.
I wish I'd saved the article. I sure wish I'd saved it. But anyway, I have no idea what. But anyway, so I looked at that and I thought, wow, you know, not only would it be nice to get to know someone that looks like that, but also...
Is this being recorded?
I'm afraid it is. But it's history. But also I was thinking to myself, regardless of how that turns out, I would really like a chance to go to her and say, by the way, your father's flight... Back in the third grade for me, inspired me to want to be a historian, and I'm now majoring in history at the U of A because of your father's flight. I thought that would be something she would like to hear if I ever got a chance to talk to her. Well, within the first couple of weeks of school, there was one night where I came down to the base of my dorm to go to the vending machine, and there she was, getting something out of the vending machine. I guess their machines in their building had broken down or something, and she was over visiting, so I thought, this is it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go up. First, I'll start off talking about the father thing and see where it goes from there. Which I think probably was more my major focus anyway, is to acknowledge my career, you know. So I walked up and said, you're Debbie Shepherd, aren't you? And she goes, no. That was it. That was the end of it. I couldn't acknowledge anything. I couldn't thank her or the father or nothing. And I thought, why would she do that? And I thought, well, maybe there's a number of guys throughout her life that had said, hey, is your father the astronaut? And hey, babe, how about a date? And she'd had enough of it. Or maybe it was just me. But whatever. Whatever is the case, though, I really, now that I look back at it, I'm so frustrated by the fact that I wanted to send a message back to him, and she had no desire to be a part of that.
Was it her? Are you sure? Why was she in your dorm?
Do all whites look alike? Yes, they do. But she was her. I could tell. She was her. Despite her denial.
No one was taking
Shepherd. That same, that was in 61, not 62, actually. Alan Shepherd went up in 61. The next year in 62.
All your stories end like that. Can I get help from you on the phone? No. Can I talk to you about your dad? No.
No. My John Kenneth Galbraith story is a lot better than
Did you
get to speak about, let me tell you about Galbraith. This is a good story. Where do we know John Kenneth Galbraith in our studies in the daytime?
I know.
I bet second period is not exposed in law third.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called The Great Crash in which he analyzed the causes of the Depression. And I first knew of Galbraith years ago for this reason. This is funny. I read in our Buddhist publication an interview or dialogue that occurred between the president of our organization and John Kenneth Galbraith about humanistic economic theory. And as I read, I was very impressed with his thinking. So that got me curious to read some of his books, and I became very, very impressed with his ideas of mixed economy, that the government should be involved in things when the capitalist market can't provide, but when the market can do it, there doesn't need to be socialism. I thought, that's the perfect mix, so you don't have to be both a capitalist and a socialist. So I read more and more of Galbraith's writings, and he had kind of a wit to him, so it was kind of neat. I got into studying the fact that he had, during the Depression, worked for FDR, and then he was an ambassador for Kennedy to, where was it, India in the 1960s. And then I'd watch him periodically on TV shows debate with Buckley, the conservative. So I really came to admire this guy a lot. Then in Quiz Bowl, we'd always talk about him and study him and everything. One day it dawned on me, this guy, my favorite economist, close to being favorite historian, has got to be getting old. He's like 80 or 90 years old. And I just can't help but I've got to acknowledge, I've got to connect, unlike S face down there. But I got to connect and make it possible. So I just called the publisher, found out, can I get an address to mail a card to? And they gave me a campus address because he's the emeritus professor at Harvard. So I wrote him a big long letter, biography of how I know him, why I appreciated him, how he's helped in school and everything. Mailed it off. Didn't expect a reply. I just wanted him to have a chance to read it. Got a card with official Harvard stationery. I can bring this to show you back, saying that he had fallen and broken, I think, bone or hip or arm or something. He'd had a bad injury on the ice up in Boston, and was in the hospital and was not doing well. And the only thing that came that day that was of any cheering up value was my letter, and he thanked me for it. So, unlike Halber Stemmen Shepherd.
By Richard Roundtree.
Okay, got to tell the Shaft story. It's on the AP test. This goes under. Who talked to Shaft? I talked to Shaft. Remember this story?
No.
Family is going to California. Flew into the Ontario Airport instead of LA, the one on East LA. Got off the plane, got on the shuttle bus. Got to the back of the shuttle bus, and here was some African-American guy with sunglasses and leather and dark hat and 1,000 pieces of expensive leather luggage all on the back of the shuttle bus. We weave our way through the luggage and find a seat and everything. Sitting there waiting to go to the car rental place. And I look at this guy and think, man, he looks familiar. Kind of cool looking, but I didn't want to say the standard look type thing. But this guy looks familiar, you know. And out of nowhere, I just blurted out and said, do people say you look like Richard Roundtree? Richard Roundtree is the real name of the actor of Shaft. And he real dryly and kind of like disgustedly responded, every day of my life. And I thought, oh, I'm sorry, man. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to remind you that. Thinking, that he's tired of being called that. So we pull up to the car rental place, and it's time to get up. He gets his gear out and gets it all together and starts to walk off and looks back and smiles and says, that's all right, because that's who I am. Right here, I talked to Shaft. And by the way, speaking of Shaft, at Sam's you can get all three Shaft movies, Shaft, Shaft's Big Score, and Shaft in Africa for $9.99 on DVD. I bought it last night. And that makes a lecture.
That's right, some commercial advertisers involve your lecture.
That's right. Who talked to Shaft, huh? John Glenn, 1962. What's his contribution? First American, because Gagarin was the first to actually orbit, the first American to orbit the Earth. He just died a year or two ago, didn't he?
No.
He's still alive? I say that every year and people remind me that he's alive.
He's in the government.
He was. He was a senator from Ohio.
Yeah, I think he's still a senator, isn't he?
It can't be.
Tell him that?
Yeah. Did he go into space again when he was in his 80s?
Yes!
Speaking of people going into space,
Stephen Hawking
made it up there.
Did he really? With Scotty of Star Trek, The Ashes? All gone. No, Hawking's alive still, isn't he?
Hawking.
Maybe he's going to get to go?
He's bound to his wheelchair and he can only make facial expressions. But
he's going to be in a space flight?
No, he already did it. One of those zero gravity things where they go up and then they drop so fast.
What a guy.
That there's no. Yeah, they said he was flipping like an apple.
That's cool.
Oh, man. That's what his.